Welcome to Lamplight Conversations. I'm the Reverend James Mosher. I'm the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Arapahoe, Nebraska, and I'm recording with Pastor Brad Rick today.
And I am the Reverend of St. John's Lutheran Church in Culbertson, Nebraska, and also the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Overland, Kansas.
Today we'll be taking a look at the readings in the three-year series for the first Sunday in Lent. And if you'd like to pre-mark your Bibles today, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. And then for the epistle reading, we'll be in the book of James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And then the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. And we pray. O God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
All righty, Pastor Rick, would you favor us with the reading of Genesis chapter 22, please?
I will. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, the fire, and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, a very pivotal and huge reading for us to go through today. It's fleshed out quite a bit in the book of Romans, but let's go through it a little bit here today. As we think about this in context of our collect of the day, we saw in the prayer that God led the people of old and continues to lead even up to today through us. And then he provided for the people of old, and he still and always provides for us and the people of the whole world, really, whether they're in Christ or not. He still rains, shines, or pours on the good and bad, and sunshines on the good and evil as well.
Right.
So, but here in this reading, We see something that seems like certain death and life coming from it. Now, let's kind of put a little context here. So we have Abraham and Isaac, and Isaac, you know, is this child of promise who's been promised for years and years and years and years to Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah's barren. You know, and they're like 100 years old when they have this child. They've tried it on their own with Ishmael and Hagar, and this child of sin born after their own image is kind of on his own, but the God provides for him because he's not holding him accountable for his parents' sin. He's the father of the Arab peoples. But then you've got Isaac, the only true son made by the will of God. So let's kind of talk about this in relation to First Commandment and trust and testing as we look at these first couple of verses here.
All righty. Where do you want to begin? With the testing?
Let's look at the word tested for a moment. You had some good insights on that.
The Lord does put us as his people to test, even Father Abraham. There comes a time when we have to be pruned and trimmed and cut back so that we can produce even more fruit. And so our God, out of love, he provides for us the test, but he also provides for us what is needed in order to pass the test. He doesn't just give us the test and say, well, you're on your own now. He provides what's needed.
And he always has a lot of confidence in us, and sometimes I feel like he's too confident in me and when he tests me.
But he knows all things.
But so. He knows all things, so he's always got it right.
Right.
So we have this moment of testing, and God says to him, you know, take your son, your only son, Isaac, who you love, go to the land of Moriah. Okay? Well, so far, so good. I mean, that's not too big a deal. Go to Moriah.
Right.
And we'll hear of Moriah again. This is where the mountains, in quotation marks, you know, growing up in Wyoming, I have a different opinion of mountain size than most people's. But as you look at Moriah, the range there, this is the hill country that would become Jerusalem. And of the highest of those, it's typically seen that this is where Temple Mount was at, where the temple was, where blood and sacrifice flowed freely for many generations up to the time of Christ. So we have that kind of underpinning thinking going on, but we have something else. There's some trust going on here.
Yeah, in all of this here, we find out that Abraham had a strong faith and trust in specifically Christ being the promised Messiah and Christ being the resurrection and the life. Because we know that Father Abraham realized that through him and through his son must come the messianic blessing, must come the Messiah. And so in all of us, as we go through this, we find that as Father Abraham goes through this, he realizes that even if he gets to the point where he must take the life of his son, that his son will be resurrected from the dead.
Yeah, somehow life's coming out of this.
Right.
Because
right.
You know, when you think about this, you know, this is the same man, Abraham,
right,
who had negotiated with God over Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
I mean, he had the brazenness to say, okay, hey, you know, 40, 20, you know, and God let him do this. I mean,
right.
The same Lord Yahweh here let him do that. But there is none of that negotiation here.
No.
He doesn't say, can I take somebody else's kid? Can I take my nephew? He's kind of annoying. Can I take him instead of Isaac? I mean, there's no negotiation. He just
right.
says, okay. Click. Next morning, he gets up and he goes.
Right. And this is his, you know, maybe to kind of flesh out a little bit more, this is Father Abraham's son and his only son.
Yeah.
He has waited an entire lifetime for this one to come along. And now, as God puts him to the test, and as God puts us to the test, it always involves, like the first commandment, do you really fear, love, and trust in me above all other things? Are you going to completely and totally submit to me, knowing that as I provide the test, I will also provide what's needed for you to pass the test? Yes or no?
Yeah. And here, you know, obviously he just simply submits to the will of God and rises the next morning without question, without hesitation, grabs a couple of the boys and Isaac, and they get some wood, they get it on the donkey, and they go.
And as we look at verse 3 here, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. Would you say that reference to early in the morning would be a reference to early in the morning on Easter Sunday morning?
I'm thinking more like Palm Sunday here.
Okay.
Where they're taking a donkey early in the morning and going to do something where it's going to take him a couple days to get there, because then it says on the third day in verse 4.
Okay, all right.
So we're a couple days out. So okay. I'm thinking more like Palm Sunday kind of feel,
okay,
where you've got the young man, the donkey, and laying of something on that's going to sacrifice the or symbolize the sacrifice.
Okay.
So right. I would lean towards Palm Sunday.
Okay. And in that Palm Sunday motif, you've got, you know, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords making his triumphant entry in the holy city of Jerusalem, riding on a colt and a donkey, the foal of a donkey, in all humbleness and humility and submission. He realizes that as he enters the holy city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, coming up is going to be Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday.
Exactly. You know, and I think this first Sunday of Lent with this reading forms a really nice bookend to the 40 days of Lent, where we are looking ahead from Mount Moriah here with the substitutionary sacrifice of Isaac, where there's something given to take his place, looking clear ahead to the next mountain through the valley of shadow of death, those 40 days, to see Palm Sunday, to see the triumphant king come, to look at Easter, where this true substitutionary sacrifice Christ made on our behalf.
Okay.
So I think it's a nice way to look across that long valley that we're going to be headed into through all this Lenten period, to prepare our hearts and minds to be able to stand going through Maundy Thursday, withstand hearing those words again on Good Friday, the last words of our Lord, to hear the crucifixion narrative. Because the only way we can survive all of that is to know what happens on Easter Sunday morning.
Right, right. And this whole Old Testament lesson here, very strong, you know, pointing to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the object of our faith. And actually, that's what Father Abraham and Isaac needed to get through this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So they take the donkey, they take the wood, they got the knife and stuff, and then on the third day, something special happens. They lifted up their eyes, they see the place from afar, and an amazing statement's made here. You guys wait here, I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we'll come to you again.
Right. So at that point, even Father Abraham realized that as this test would be required of him, that he would already pass the test, and that the way he would pass the test is by totally submitting to God and putting all of his faith and all of his love and all of his trust in our Lord, that the Lord will provide for him and show him the way. But he realizes that as the test is given, he's already going to pass the test.
You know, and I'm sure a Bible hater would say, now, wait a second, he's probably just trying to pacify Isaac and the guys so they don't rebel. But there's none of that here. We see none of that kind of thing. And we can tell that even later when he goes up and he lays down on the wood by himself. All righty, well, we are at our first break. You're listening to Lamplight Conversations. We'll be right back.